You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we discuss current events, social issues, religious trends, and noteworthy news from a biblical perspective. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. This episode is being released on May 25th, 2023. And this is the last episode for the month of May, so we're going to be doing our monthly news roundup. Rather than focusing on just one story or topic, we're going to briefly talk about a few different stories from the news this past month. So this week, we're talking about an LGBTQ group that is pushing for change at a Christian college. We'll talk about the claim of that prayer helped to regrow a woman's toes, and the reason why a pornography site has decided to block residents from Utah from accessing its platform. For links to the stories we're talking about, as well as other related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/05-25-23. Now for our stories this week. First story, LGBTQ group pushes for change at Milligan. From Christian Standard, a group is protesting Milligan University's avowed biblical position on human sexuality by posting on a billboard near campus last month that trans is holy, drag is holy, queer is holy, and you are holy. Genesis 1:31 and Acts 10:15 are cited as supporting scripture. That group, Milligan for All, started in 2021. One of its members, Molly Dykus, who came out as LGBTQ while at Milligan and who graduated on Saturday, told WJHL.com that it is the group's fifth billboard as they continue to push for change at the Christian University in Tennessee. Earlier today, Milligan University President Bill Greer told Christian Standard, "Because of our biblically based position on marriage and human sexuality, we continue to be attacked. The group Milligan for All," he said, "wants us to change our position." Milligan for All, which is comprised of alums and others associated with Milligan, has been disappointed that there's not a whole lot of change that's really actually happened since some initial discussions with Milligan's leadership, Dykus told WJHL for their news story. Milligan for All's website states, "It is an open and affirming alumni collective. We seek to transform MU into a place that fully embodies and expresses Christian love, a place welcoming of all gender identities and sexual orientations." Now, I'll admit that this story personally caught my attention because it was at a school that is named after a preacher who is associated with the Restoration Movement, Robert Milligan. Now, it wasn't founded by him, but the college was founded by one of his former students, a man named Josephus Hopwood, back in the 1800s. And according to the school's website, it is affiliated with the non-denominational Christian churches, which branched off of the Restoration Movement. So this is happening at a so-called Christian college. I believe that is significant because there are a lot of young Christians who decide to go to a particular school, or parents who decide to send their children to a particular school, whether it's this school or one like it, in order to avoid a lot of the worldly influences that exist at other colleges and universities. And it's understandable why they would make a decision like this to attend one of these types of schools. Now, I don't believe I know anyone personally who has attended Milligan University, but I know people who have attended other schools like that, whether it be Freed Hardeman or Harding, that I even attended a school like that down in Tampa, Florida College. These places that offer a, or they claim to offer a Christian environment. And so they are seen as a good starting place for students who are leaving high school. And before they get out into the world, they can go and start their college career in one of these type of institutions. Yet anymore, even places like this one have the threat of homosexuality and transgenderism that exists there, and young people need to be prepared for it. Over in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, it says, Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The reason why I said that this is important, or this is significant, that this is happening at a so-called Christian school, is that it is very easy for parents to say, well, I'm going to send my kids there because that's going to help ground them. Well, it's the responsibility of the parents to do that before the child ever goes to college. It is not the role of a so-called Christian college to bring up the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is the parents' responsibility. In particular, the fathers have the chief responsibility in that. Mothers are obviously going to be involved, but the burden of responsibility falls on the fathers. It's not passed off, or is not to be passed off on even the local church, even though the church has a role to play, but certainly not onto a college. So a Christian college, so-called, cannot do that for you. If you have children, you are responsible for bringing them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Even if a particular college, those in the leadership or the faculty of that college, even if they're Christians, even if they stand on biblical principles, they cannot do the job for you. But let's notice the first passage that's cited on that billboard that's promoting this LGBTQ ideology on this campus. First passage that they listed was Genesis 1:31. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. So that passage that they cited said that everything that God made was very good. But what did he make? Well, earlier, just a few verses earlier in that chapter, in Genesis 1:27, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. What did God make that was very good? He created male and female. They were distinct. They were there to complement one another as they would work together. Also, Genesis 2 and verse 24, it says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That's describing the marriage relationship. It's part of what God made that is very good. Well, that marriage is between one man and one woman. And Jesus would cite this in Matthew 19 to make the point that this is for life. That's what God made that was very good. Hebrews 13 and verse 4 says, marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. So that marriage that God instituted, that is between a man and a woman, is the relationship in which sexual desires can be fulfilled. That is very good. What God has made is very good. But homosexuality, transgenderism, dressing in drag that blurs the lines between men and women, all of that is a corruption of what God has made. So the group behind the billboard using that verse in Genesis 1:31 is promoting something themselves that is contrary to God's design that was very good. But the other passage they cited on that billboard was Acts 10 and verse 15. It says, again, a voice came to him a second time. What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. Now, in that context, we won't get into it here, but in that context, as you read through Acts chapter 10, you see Peter's vision of the unclean animals that is being lowered down out of heaven, a voice from heaven telling him to arise and kill and eat. He refuses because he says he's never eaten anything that's unclean. This was the response. What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. So the billboard at or near Milligan's campus said, you are holy, even if you have given yourself over to homosexuality or transgenderism. But what does it mean to be holy? That's important to define. What does it mean to be holy? It means to be sacred. It means to be set apart. The Greek word for sanctification is derived from the word for holy or to be holy. It means one that has been purified and set apart for God's purpose. And one passage that talks about that sanctification, that being made holy, being set apart, one passage that talks about that is a passage that this LGBTQ group would never use on a billboard. It's a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, that says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. But such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." So in order to become washed and sanctified and justified and part of God's kingdom, those Christians in Corinth first needed to give up their sin. And Paul specifically mentioned the effeminate and homosexuals who had to give up their sin in order to be sanctified and washed and justified and part of God's kingdom. So the Lord's kingdom is open to everyone, even those who are engaged in those types of behaviors. They can be saved. They can be forgiven. They can be made holy. But they need to give up their sin. Our society's promotion and normalization of homosexuality and transgenderism is everywhere. And going to a so-called Christian college won't shield us from it or shield our children from it. So we need to be aware of that and prepared and be preparing them for it as well. Now, that first story took a little bit more time than we normally do on these roundup episodes. So the next two stories will probably go through a little bit more quickly than the first one did. The second story, though, is this. A Missouri church leader claims prayer regrew a woman's toes. Others are skeptical. From USA Today, a Missouri church is claiming that prayer regrew a woman's amputated toes last week. No photo or video evidence has been found, leading many to express skepticism. During a live stream of James River Church's March 15th service in the Springfield area, John Lindell, the church's pastor, explained that a creative miracle took place the day before at the Joplin James River Church campus. James River Church and the woman involved, Christina Dines, have not returned requests for comment from the Springfield News Leader, part of the USA Today network. As of the publication of this article, there are no photos or videos of the event taking place or the aftermath. Now you can check out that article to read more about what allegedly happened, how this woman supposedly lost her toes and what happened to have them grow back. But notice what we read there about what the article stated. No photos or videos of the event taking place or the aftermath. So naturally, people are skeptical. This is very different from the miracles that were performed in the Bible. One in particular that I thought of, and we've studied this recently in one of our Bible study videos that I'll link to in the show notes on Acts chapter 3, was when Peter healed a lame man at the temple gate. It says in Acts chapter 3, beginning of verse 7, "And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood upright and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." The miracle that Peter performed there was obvious. It was immediate. It was complete and undeniable. Even the rulers who crucified Jesus and wanted to silence the apostles from teaching about him, even they knew that they could not deny the miracle. When they conferred together after they called or had Peter and John arrested and brought before them, they conferred together and they said, "What shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." It would have been unreasonable for them to say that that miracle did not happen. Even if they didn't want to accept the implications of it, it would have been unreasonable for them to say that, no, that didn't happen, because the man was standing right there. Everyone knew who he was. Everyone had seen him, and his healing was complete and immediate, and no one could deny it, not even the enemies, not even the people who wanted to be skeptical. They could not deny it. Yet those who want to believe a miracle took place in that story that we read, in that case with a woman who allegedly lost her toes and they grew back, the ones who want to believe that, they are the ones who have to suspend reason in order to believe it, because there is no evidence for it. No photos, no videos, no one saw it happen. There's no evidence for it. There is a big difference between the genuine miracles that are recorded in the Bible and the fake miracles that people claim today. The third story. Pornhub blocks Utah in protest of age verification law. From Faithwire, the world's largest pornography website, Pornhub, has blocked Utahns from accessing the platform in protest of a new state law requiring visitors to verify their ages before entering the site. Anyone visiting the smut site with a Utah-based IP address is met with a message stating the platform has made the difficult decision to completely disable access to our website in Utah. The decision by Pornhub comes weeks after state lawmakers passed legislation requiring websites with pornographic content to verify visitors' ages before allowing them to access the platforms. Utah Governor Spencer Cox signed the bill into law in late March. It takes effect Tuesday, May 2nd. Good for Utah here. The legislation here forced this pornography site to admit that they cannot function with age verification. That means it is in their interest, at least from a business standpoint, it is in their interest to have their content available to children. And they know, and everyone knows, children do stumble upon that type of content and they get hooked on it, just like happens to adults as well. But there's another part to this that was not really the focus of that article and why they were pointing that out. But there's another side to this, that there can be adults who would visit that site or other sites like that, but would not want to verify their age. And that will also hurt that site, and they know it. Well, why would an adult not want to verify their age? It's because they want to feel some sense of anonymity when they visit a site like that. One of the reasons why people use pornography is because they want to feed their sexual desires without consequences, or at least what they perceive as consequences, or the threat of being caught. I talked about this in an article I wrote a few years ago titled Six Things Pornography Users Do Not Want, and I'll link to that in the show notes. And while pornography is losing the stigma that it once had among many people in our society, because our society continues to move further and further away from biblical morality, that stigma is not completely gone. So the thought of losing that anonymity is enough to keep a certain percentage of potential website visitors away. Now, of course, whether others know about it or not, we need to avoid sin, whether it's the lust that's inherent in pornography or any other sin. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 28 and 29. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you, for it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. So whether it's pornography or any other thing that produces lust in us, in our heart, we need to put that away from us. Ultimately, we are responsible for keeping ourselves free from sin. But in this case, it's good for those civil leaders in Utah for trying to make it harder to access the destructive and degrading content on websites like that one. Well, that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found this to be interesting, informative, and helpful. For links to the stories we talked about and other related materials, visit the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/05-25-23. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast and share it with others, that would be appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember that we are also uploading video versions to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you want to watch the video version instead, then that is available to you there. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see other videos that are posted. I mentioned earlier in this episode a video on the Bible study series I'm doing on the book of Acts. Those are continuing and are, the plan is at least to release one of those each week so that you'll also see those once you subscribe to the channel and get notified about that. And if you see a news story or have some topic that you think would make for a good discussion here, send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.